Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Midweek Motivation. Today we're going to be talking about God Most Just. We've discussed God Most Holy, God Most Loving, and God Most Good. So what is just? Just is fairness, and it's aligned with whatever it is that is being judged. So it might be a court system. It might be your set of rules if it's a game you're playing. It might be your expectations if it's personal or in your family or if it's social. But when we're talking about God Most Just, today we're going to be centered on fairness aligned with His holiness, which is why it was important that we first discussed God Most Holy. So, two words that I think are also important as we walk into God Most Just is grace and mercy. What is grace? Grace is receiving something undeserved. What is mercy? Not receiving something you do deserve. So, what we have to realize is that often when a situation occurs, we in our humanness, you know, considering we've been talking about this feel wheel, in our humanness, with only the amount of understanding and sight that we have in the situation, very often we declare it unjust or unfair. We immediately go into protection mode, maybe denial. And we say, why did that happen? That wasn't fair. Or I didn't deserve that. Or what good outcome could come out of this trial or even tragedy? Here's what we have to realize. If we truly trusted God, truly trusted God, truly reverenced and feared Him, that reaction to any situation wouldn't even take place because we would authentically be able to say, I do not see the good in this, but I know You are good, which is what we spoke about last week. Or I do not see why this is happening, but I know You are just. And by that we're saying, but I know that everything is aligned with Your holiness. But what hurts is when it takes place within our lives. So that's why we react the way we do. We react in our humanness. So my attempt today is for us to discuss and look into God's Word about how we can guard ourselves against, honestly, not fearing, reverencing, and trusting our just God. Because if we don't want to accept the fairness aligned with His holiness, then really, why do we deserve His grace and His mercy? It's like we're looking at all the attributes of Him and we're wanting to pick our own adventure. We're wanting to fabricate Him like you would putting a puzzle together. Or like if you're designing a character and you're like, I want this attribute and this attribute and I want Him to look like this. And we like all the parts about God, like loving, good, merciful, gracious, holy. But we're like, let's leave the God is just part out. Because that's really what often holds us up in our trust with Him, that we don't have the same holy vantage point that He does. So we deem things unfair or even unnecessary. But we don't have that right. We are not in the position to question God's justness. We just have to learn within ourselves as humans how to take the approach and align ourselves with His holiness. So that takes me to the Word. The first verse I want us to look at is Titus 2, 11 through 14. And if you have our Becoming Fully Devoted feel wheel that has the verses in the boxes with all of His attributes, then you will know that in the God is Just box, the first listed scripture reference is Titus 2, 11 through 14. So I'm just going to read those aloud for us. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasure. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. That is an example of God's justness. He sent His Son on the cross to die for our sins. He gave us the grace. We received something so undeserved. And He spares our life, which is mercy, because we receive something we don't deserve, which is just the ability to continue walking the journey out with Him. If He chose to strike us for sin, none of us would still be here. So if we are encouraged by those words that He has offered us salvation, and He asks us simple things to basically walk the way of the righteous, seek wisdom, and be fully devoted, that is His grace and mercy over us. So if we want to accept His grace and mercy, why is it so hard to accept that He is just? Here's one thing that Charles Swindoll writes about the passage in Titus 2, 11 through 14. He says, think about a boat. And let's say there's four people stranded in a flood. And I arrive in a boat and I announce, get in, everybody. And they all have the same opportunity to be saved. But one of them refuses. They don't think my boat is good enough. They think jumping in my boat might cause them to sink. And another person jumps right in the boat, thinking it's totally better than where they are at the moment. And then let's think another one doesn't know for sure whether the boat will help or not. And I don't have time to let them make that decision. And I say, come on, it needs to go now. And they're just taking too long trusting it. And the fourth person waits too late. And as my boat leaves with the only person that jumped right in, they jump into the water. So think about that. God is offering everyone the same choice. First and foremost, to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Get in, everybody, get in. You have a free ticket to heaven. You have a free ticket to experience the Holy Spirit within you while you're here on this journey. Some still don't know. Some are waiting, marinating on it. Some accept it when it has been brought to light that they need it. but none of us should wait too late. So that is in reference to the ability for all of us to have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But now that same justness applies to our walk with Him. If we trust Him explicitly that He has sent His Son to be a Savior for us to one day spend eternal life with Him, then what is the actual breakdown with us believing and trusting that everything that takes place from the moment we are born till the moment He calls us home isn't just as fair, planned, and aligned with His holiness? That's what I want you to honestly ruminate around in your mind. Why can you trust salvation for an eternal end, but you can't trust, or we can't trust, because I've got to put myself right in the middle of it. Why is it so hard for us to then trust the daily, minute by minute, weekly, monthly, yearly, seasonal things? Why can't we just trust Him with that? Let's look at Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24. So be careful not to break the covenant the Lord your God has made with you. Do not make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has forbidden this. The Lord your God is a devouring fire. He is a jealous God. That's another example of His justness. He is going to judge. The Bible is full of examples of how His wrath and His justice took place for people who did not listen or did not obey or did not trust or did not follow. But then why is it so hard for us to not understand how critically important it then is still for us today to have blind faith, full trust, full devotion, read His word, study His word, obey His word, and just trust Him with the little minute details to the huge, huge impactful details of our lives. So that took me to continue reading in Deuteronomy. And this is actually from Deuteronomy 6. This is right after Moses has just been, the whole chapter 5 is the Ten Commandments. Chapter 6 begins with, now this is the commandment that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons. Keep His statutes and His commandments. Verse 4. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. So it seems very, extremely hard to walk this walk on earth in our humanness, awaiting our eternal home. But it all comes back to this simple thing. If we feared God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, and if we recognized Him as the most powerful person, and if we really trusted Him with all that we have, and if we really knew that every choice and every situation and every circumstance would be aligned fairly with His holiness, then we could rest in that. we could gain that abundant peace. We could have that overwhelming joy, knowing that He has us totally protected in His hands, that we just have to position ourselves with the posture to not understand it, but to readily accept it and say, I trust you. I don't know why I'm walking this walk, but I trust you. So let's look a little further down into Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, let's start with verse 13. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by His name only you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you. Let's go down to verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. So just as He promised the children of Israel, even though they wandered and went a roundabout way and complained and didn't see the vision and didn't trust Him and doubted, and some never got to enter, some got to see but not enter, so many lost their lives, He still was faithful and kept His promise to the children and those that were able to enter. And all He asks us today is the same that He asked them. Love me. First and foremost, love me sincerely, because He is the judge of our motivation and our heart. We can't fake God. We might be able to put on a false front and fake it for others, but we will never fake God. We must first and foremost sincerely love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Did you listen to God is Loving, that midweek episode? If you haven't, go back and listen to that one. There are various kinds of love. He wants agape love. Do you have a strong love for Him? Strong as in to battle your mind, strong love, which is why this feel wheel guiding us back to His will is what is so vitally important. It's not that we can't recognize where we are at the moment in a situation we are facing. It's that we recognize where we are and go to God and surrender in our humanness how we are facing the situation. It's taking it to Him immediately through our feelings and saying, Lord, take my anger, take my disappointment. I surrender it to you because I know you are just. I know what is happening is fair. I know it is aligned with your holiness. I know it is utmost important that I walk this walk for your kingdom's good. Do you sincerely love Him? Do you strongly love Him? Meaning that you can battle the situation with His armor. Is it a superlative love? And by that it means, does it precede and come ahead of any other love? This one's hard. Do you really love God more than your family, spouse, children, grandchildren, friends, job, possessions, health? If God created you and blessed you with all those things, doesn't He deserve a higher order of love back from us than the things He gave us? You've heard the love the giver more than the gifts? And then do you solely love Him? Solely. And that can be taken two ways: with your soul over your mind and heart, or solely. My intended was S-O-L-E-L-Y. Like if you were in isolation from everything, is he enough? Think of Job. All the things that he lost, he still had God. Is God enough? That's really, to me, what we have to break it down and recognize within ourselves, where we really need to turn over our love for him. Is it in your sincerity? Is it in your strength? Is it in your priorities? Or is he truly enough? We have to wrestle and win in those areas first before we can ever truly begin to say, okay, God, okay, I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to read a few things out of Jen Wilkins' chapter of God Most Just. The first thing she says is God's justice should be a subject of our worship. We should worship his fairness aligned with his holiness. Just like we worship that he's a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God of love. Then another thing I want to point out from her chapter is she says, without the Holy Spirit's presence and us giving it our consciousness that we are going to humanly battle and fight against what we feel is just or not just for us, which gets me all back to where I was reading in Deuteronomy. It's like the horse that hasn't been broke yet. You want to have God's will shown to you, but you don't want your will broken in the meantime. So the Holy Spirit, as my guide and my best friend, is the only way that when Paulette attempts to get in the way, that the Holy Spirit says, ooh, girl, back up, slow down. Where is your trust? Where is your love? Where is your adoration? Where is your worship? Where is your faith? Where is your joy? What are you allowing yourself to be overwhelmed by? The idea of both obeying God and fearing him is crucial. We must fear the Lord and worship his holiness, which means his justness. And we have to remember that no one gets away with anything. No one is hidden from God's sight. There is no secret sin. God knows everything. But Christ Jesus interceded for our sins. And if you accept him as your personal savior, that is where we have the grace and the mercy from God. But we should still be willing, as in Jeremiah 10:24 says, discipline me, Lord, with justice, not in your anger, but in your justness. So that is still why in the mornings when I kneel down, and I say, I give you this day. I give you this day. That keeps my parameters focused on one day. And not running out ahead and being worried about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or the next season or going backwards and sitting in what Satan wants to be lies over me from the past. But just sit in today. I give you this day. I give you this day, God. And then I say, deplete me for the things that are of self. Fill me with the things that are of you and send me. Send me under the people I need to be under to grow in wisdom. And send me over the people that I can in any way encourage and help. And my first go-to then after that is the Word of God for my time with him. My time with him. I need to walk as children of the light. I need to walk in the word of Christ. So I don't know how you are at this moment. I don't know if you have the scorecard mentality that God did this for me and that was good, and then God's got me here and that's bad, and I want to go back and receive a blessing, but I feel like I'm almost in a curse or a trial. Here's what I want you to realize. I have been there. I've been in almost that ledger keeping mentality because I am a journaler. I am very task oriented. I like to know what I need to do and check it off. But here's what I want you to hear. We don't have the right privilege, power, mentality, vision, vantage, righteousness, wisdom, insight to garnish that with God. We have no right. Like, I don't know if any of you are doing the basketball bracket, if you're winning or you're losing or how you're doing, but we can't make a bracket and keep score in a game with God. We can't. We cannot. I don't know how many of you are reality TV watchers. One show that I watched way in past years, and then I just haven't been watching for a long time. But just lately, I caught a partial episode of The Amazing Race. And I used to love watching it, mostly just to see the scenery from all the different countries and the things that they had to go through. And it was just neat to see all the different cultures. And it's almost like you were experiencing it from your couch. But anyway, I just caught a brief segment of one episode of The Amazing Race. And then my TV actually came, it just went black. And it said, this has been interrupted. We're trying to get the show back up, but basically whatever, my internet went down or whatever. I took it as, I didn't need to sit here and watch that. Anyway, I had other things I could be doing. But it reminded me when I was praying, preparing for today's episode, that's what we're all on. We are all on an amazing race. And we all have, as you've seen those episodes, like we come to a crisis or a crux, and we either can go and do this or we can go and do that. Both end up funneling the contestants back into a checkpoint. It's not always choice A, choice B. I'm going to be so caught up in choice A or choice B, or I'll never be back in God's will. No. Prayerfully enter into your choices. Prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and give you insight and wisdom and close one door and open another. But God is there waiting for you on the other side of your choice, your trial, your predicament. He's not going to abandon you. He's at the checkpoint, just like the host for The Amazing Race is. We're all possibly getting there in a different way or a different order, but he's there on the checkpoint waiting for us. He hasn't abandoned us. He's not going to allow you to fall away and never have a path back to him. So sometimes I think we're so hung up. Satan wants us so captivated and controlled by worry and anxiety and concern and doubt that we don't do the thing God asks us to do most. Fear me and love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Love me sincerely. Love me strongly. Love me superlatively over anything else. And love me solely. Have no other gods or idols before you. Because, ladies, recognize your idols. Recognize your idols. Is your idols your health and the way you look, the car you drive, the house you live in? Are your idols your kids and how successful they are or how they look or what they're a part of? Is your idol your job, your profession, your passion, your hobbies? Is your idol your husband or finding a husband Or, you know, what is your idol? What is your idol? God says there should be nothing above me, and I'm a jealous God. That's what he tells us. He's telling us ahead of time, I want you to love me and love me only with your heart, soul, and might, and I'm a jealous God. Meaning, he is looking for those that are going to unabashedly say, I recognize I'm on this amazing race with you. I don't really even understand how to play the game. I'm often stuck with choices and opportunities. I don't exactly know which one I should take. But you know what? I trust you. And you've given me grace that I don't deserve. And you've given me mercy, which has spared me from what I do deserve. And you are fair, and you've aligned my life with your holiness for your kingdom's work. And you know what? I'm going to quit worrying. I'm going to do a whole lot more worshiping. I'm going to quit analyzing choices and decisions, and I'm going to get into your word. And I'm going to quit having strife, and I'm going to study what your word says. And I'm going to quit being obstinate, and I'm going to start obeying. Just blind faith, blind trust. I'm going to just say, you know what? This is how I'm going. This is what I feel God has me to do, and I'm going to walk it out. I'm not going to look back, and I'm not going to jump too far ahead. And just name it and claim it. Claim his attributes. That's the thing. You don't have to know the outcome. You can say, God, you are a just God. Give me grace and mercy in this situation like you have given me in life. I'm going to open this door. I'm going to walk through it because I haven't seen one close. And I don't want to be so caught up in the world and this choice that I forget that the first choice I have is to fear and love you with all my heart, soul, and might. And I'm going to sit in that. That's the better choice of how I spend my time. I can spend my time lost in what I should be doing, or I can spend my time in loving my God. So, ladies, I hope this helps. I hope, if anything, it takes something off your plate. I hope it releases you from what Satan has as a lie over you that is captivating and holding you that is not true. I hope you really bear the likeness of Christ because you have first and foremost decided to love him. Love him. Love his holiness. Love his lovingness. Love his goodness. Love his justness. And join us next Midweek Motivation, and we will talk about God Most Merciful. Have a wonderful day.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.